Welcome to the Royal Caribbean Blog Podcast, your weekly look into the world of Royal Caribbean cruising. I'm your host, Matt Hotchberg, and this is episode number 530. And this week, we're answering listener questions. It's back to answering the emails you've sent in, all emails, all episode long. Here we go. So apologies for this episode being a couple days late. I was down in Miami for Sea Trade, which is an industry event. It's not consumer-facing. It's really B2B, if you will. It's really for the cruise industry, talking about different things. And there aren't really a ton of announcements. Royal Caribbean didn't have any, in fact. And some of the other lines have very, very minor announcements. I think actually the only lines that make announcements are truly some of the smaller lines out there. But nonetheless, it's an opportunity to hear executives talk and kind of get a sense of things. There wasn't a huge amount of news, especially not Royal Caribbean related. But anyway, that's my excuse for not having this episode out. Instead, though, I wanted to dedicate this episode to you all and answer some emails. First email is from Michael. Hi, Matt. Two questions. I saw you rented a cabana at Hideaway Beach. Were you able to request a location, or was it randomly assigned or first come, first serve? We have one reserved for an upcoming Icon vacation. The answer is, if you don't do anything, then it's randomly assigned. I did request one. On the ends, I had the Hideout Cabanas in Hideaway Beach, which is the adults-only area at Perfect Day Coco Key. And the Hideout Cabanas, which have their own little pool area, I prefer the ones that are on the ends because they're a little bit larger, like the pool area, because the pool ends. And as the pool ends, it has more of a dead end to it, and it gives a little more space. But more importantly, you get less people like swimming by you. Not that that really happens a lot, but it feels like it's a little more private. So anyway, to request one, you just go down to guest service to Shore Excursions. I mean, guest services probably can help you too, but really the Shore Excursion desk is where you want to go. And they can handle your request on a first-come, first-served basis. Second question from Michael is, having read your blog for a while now, what happened to Friday photos? They were always fun to see. You know, Friday photos was something we did a while ago. During the pandemic, I stopped doing them because it seemed silly to be doing photos of cruises that weren't happening. And essentially, we just kind of, you know, things evolve here at Royal Caribbean Blog. I try really to branch out and do things and share more of the cruise experience. So it was just a conscious decision to, you know, move on and try some different things out there. Next email is from Ryan. Hey, Matt, my wife and I are sailing on Wonder this season, September, with our two kids. We'll be three and almost two. Man, I'm really struggling to read today. We're staying in an owner's suite for the extra room and the bathtub. Does Royal Caribbean have any high chairs or packing plays available for use in our room? Does that answer make a difference being in a suite or not? And if they do have these items, can they be arranged with the concierge when they reach out to us before the cruise? Thanks for your time and podcast. Yes, they are available. I can definitely tell you that pack and plays are 100% available for you. They do have high chairs in the restaurants. I don't know if you can get one in your suite. I never request one when my kids were that age. But pack and plays are absolutely available. You can actually do it before the cruise. There's going to be a stateroom preferences option that comes out there. But certainly you can do that via the concierge as well. Worst case scenario, and this is how we used to always do it, we would just ask once we get on board the ship, but it's a good idea because there are a limited amount of pack and plays on board. My only other advice for pack and plays is bring some kind of a padding. It kind of depends on your kid. I remember our second child was very fussy with the firmness of the pack and play, and we ended up purchasing like padding for the bottom of the pack and play. It's hard to describe here on a podcast, but if you could imagine at the bottom of the pack and play, when you set it up, the bedding area, if you will, it's rectangular, right? And you lift it up when you want to undo the pack and play. But anyway, there are on like Amazon cushions or like, I don't know, they're not blankets, but they're things that go around and the main area, the bedding, and it provides a little more cushion. Anyway, if your kid is particular about that, that might be an option for you. And by the way, you can get pack and plays in any stateroom category, not just suites. But again, the high chairs, they'll have them in all the restaurants. That's never a problem. You just, when you show up, you know, ask for one, you're good to go. Next, we have an email from Ryan. My wife and I will be on Wonder in September. And we both, I think this is a different Ryan, though. We both love snorkeling in the Caribbean. Have you ever done the reef snorkeling excursion at Coco Key? Is it worth it to do or to snorkel on the island? I have not done any snorkeling at Coco Key. I can tell you that from people I've spoken with, the snorkeling Coco Key is not impressive. It's not great. It's not the best. It's good if, listen, you're on Wonder of the Seas. You're going to be doing a 7-night cruise. I'm willing to bet almost any place else you're going is going to have better snorkeling. Most people will say they either bring their own equipment or they use Coco Key as like a testing, especially if they're going there first. They'll go to the island, you know, like test out their equipment, get their like practice in, if you will. So that way when they're actually somewhere where it's more important to be able to take advantage of all your time, you'll already be ready to go. But, you know, I don't know, Ryan, that you really care that much. Will you see something? Sure. My other recommendation for Cocoa Key is the surf. You know, as people get in the water, it gets a little more muddied up from people just being out there. So if you want to see something, definitely go in the morning. Don't wait till the afternoon as an option. I don't have any specific comments on reef snorkeling, but again, if you have the choice of going snorkeling at Cocoa Key or St. Thomas or Cozumel, I'd pick any of those other places. Literally anywhere else that isn't Nassau probably is better. And I would actually, now that I think about it, I bet you Nassau might still have better options. It's just nothing remarkable at the snorkeling at Cocoa Key, that's all. Next, we have an email from Lindsay. Hi, Matt. Really appreciate your podcast. We're going on Oasis for a transatlantic from Newark to Rome with a back-to-back to the Greek Isles. Wow. We have the same junior sky suite on both trips. There's so much info, yes and no, regarding whether we actually have internet included. Any ideas regarding internet or just a free trip? So you're on Oasis of the Seas and you are in a sky class suite. Then the answer is yes. You said junior sky suite. That's not a cabin I'm familiar with. If you're in a junior suite, there is no internet provided with your room. If you're in a sky class room, like a grand suite, owner suite, something like that, then it's included. So you wrote junior, she really wrote JR sky suite. That's not a category of rooms. Not on Oasis anyway. I know that on Celebrity, I think. Anyway, I digress. So the reason why you're getting different answers is because you gave your information, unfortunately, and don't think it's the wrong, I'm not insulting you, it's flawed. Again, if you have a junior suite, then you do not have internet provided. If you have a sky class suite, like owner suite, grand suite, something like that, then yes, internet is included for everybody in the cabin. So depending on the answer to your question, or the answer to my question, we'll answer your question. Next, we have an email from Danny and Amy. Hi, Matt. Amy and I have been watching you for quite a while. We love your Royal Caribbean videos. We have our first cruise booked September 1st through the 7th on Symphony out of New Jersey, our second on Wonder in March 2025, to St. Martin in June of 2025, our third cruise on Oasis out of Fort Lauderdale. On the cruise ships, what's open after 11 p.m.? Food, pools, hot tubs? Just curious as to what we could do while everyone is sleeping. Are bars open, hot tubs, pools, food options? Thanks for great videos. So, great question. And first and foremost, you really should look at a past cruise compass, Danny and Amy. So, it's hard to answer your question because you're on a couple different ships. And the answer depends on your ship and even depends sometimes on the itinerary. So, what you want to do is go to RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com and go to the cruise compass link, which is in our main menu. And then find you're going on, you know, Symphony or Wonder or Oasis and look that up. In general, yeah, there are going to be plenty of bars open. There's going to be food-wise at 11 o'clock, depending on the ship you're on, you're probably talking about Sorrento's Pizza, Cafe Promenade, and room service at a bare minimum. I'm trying to think of what else would actually be open past 11. You know, yeah, I think even on Wonder, the Mason Jar does have late night bites open at the bar when there's a sea day the next day. But I don't know that it goes to 11 o'clock. So for most people, it's really room service or Cafe Promenade or Sorrento is really one of those three things. And you kind of go from there. Are the pools and hot tubs open? Again, depends on the itinerary. Sometimes they do keep some, like one hot tub open late at night, but it kind of depends there. Anyway, read a past cruise compass. Unfortunately, it's the best answer to your question. Rich Martell has our next question. Hi, Matt. Just listen to your Norway podcast. Great info. You mentioned at the end of your post that these were not the best ones. Care to share with us what you believe are the must-sees in Norway? I think, and now I'm trying to rack my brain for... So basically, the ports I went to, I felt like when I was researching Norway, like I booked this cruise because it fit in perfectly with my visit to Europe. So I had no choice but to book this one, right? And then later, I was looking up ports and what to do, and it seemed like there were far better or more popular ports in Norway than the ones I went to. And of course, popular is a relative term. And you know, it's something to keep in mind when you're kind of comparing and contrasting, because these are more opinions than anything else. But I want to kind of throw that out there as just, you know, some food for thought, because I always caution people, you know, just because someone said they didn't like one particular place doesn't mean it's bad or anything like that. But that being said, the one port I did go to that I do think is quite popular and worth your time, certainly Geiranger is fantastic, and Olden wasn't bad, but I think certainly Alesund and Haugesund and Kristiansund are very popular ports, and I think why a lot of people end up in those places. Oslo and Bergen are nice cities, and there's nothing wrong with them, but they don't have, of course, the fjords. And I think a lot of people really look at a Norway cruise for one reason, and that is for the fjords. Everything else is nice, don't get me wrong, but it's all secondary. And, you know, anyway, that being said, you know, there's some other ones, you know, Flam, or I hope I said that right, is also quite popular. You know, basically anywhere that gets you access to a fjord is really what you want. And on mine, there was only really one, which is Geiranger. I mean, at Haugesund, or Stavanger, which one I went to? I don't remember at this point. One of them we went to, and we ended up, I took a bus to go all the way out to like, took a couple hours. Not the end of the world by any means, but, you know, certainly, I don't think it was, in my opinion, the A-list Norway fjords itinerary. Next up is an email from Kate. Dear Matt, my family and I will be on a back-to-back cruise in July on Alert in Miami. Shout out to Megan from MEI Travel. My question is, what's a typical turnaround time for disembarking from our first cruise and then re-embarking for the second one? Do we need to plan something to do in between, or will we all be back on the ship fairly quickly? My family and I love listening to your weekly podcast and watching your YouTube channel. Thanks for all you do. Kate, thanks for the email. Appreciate you. The answer is, it's pretty quick. There is an X factor that we can't account for. There's no telling. So basically, when you're doing a back-to-back, you're going to report to a place on board your ship. You and all the other back-to-backers. And you're going to wait there until all the other passengers are off the ship. At that point, Royal Caribbean will escort you off the ship, meaning somebody who's in there with you will walk you off the ship. You have to have a zero count for the U.S. I forget if it's for Customs or the Coast Guard. I think it's Customs, so like Homeland Security. I don't think Customs, or I don't think the Coast Guard cares. Anyway, you do that. And then the question is, with literally every passenger off the ship at this point, how quickly is the ship cleared for its next voyage by the local authorities? In some cases, you don't stop walking. You just turn around and keep going right back on. In other cases, you take a seat. And in rare cases, you sit there for a while. Having done a number of back-to-backs, I can tell you that I've seen everything from we just never stop walking to you spent an hour in the cruise terminal waiting. Do you need to plan something to do in between? No, you'll be all together. I would bring your phone with you. You don't need to bring anything else with you, but definitely bring a phone or some sort of an entertainment device to keep your mind occupied. If you got kids, you might consider bringing, you know, if they have a Nintendo Switch or something to keep them occupied. Again, it could be very quick, but it might take a little longer, so it's good to have an idea. I think you'll actually spend the most time probably waiting in that back-to-back lounge. So, something to keep in mind there. Next is an email from Peter. Howdy, Matt. Our family is scheduled to do a sail on the brand new Sun Princess in June of 2024. It's a long story of an extended family stuff that explains why we are booked on a Princess cruise. Make no mistake, we are Royal Caribbean people. Anyhow, we have noticed that while the ship did finally set sail after some predictable initial cancellations, there are some major components not ready to go. The theater isn't open, some major entertainment, adventure course, water slide type things are still not open, and apparently, there are still a good number of construction workers on board continuing to work. Not surprisingly, people who are sailing aren't really happy. It doesn't seem like the sort of soft opening is common on the new Royal ships that have debuted in the last couple years. Am I crazy, or is Royal pretty diligent about having their ships and their accommodation attractions ready to go at the time of inaugural sailing? You're somewhat right. I mean, I would say what I've observed with what's happening with Sun Princess, I would say is uncharacteristic of Royal Caribbean, but there are definitely not everything is 100% on a Royal Caribbean ship when it first launches. Now, when I say not 100%, I mean, as in the case of Icon of the Seas, the shows on board, only one show was complete, like from start to finish, and I believe that was Wizard of Oz. The Ice Skating show was pretty much done, but I think it was still missing one thing. The Aqua show was simply a preview. That was not ready at all. And then all the secondary shows, there's like, you know, Pirates and Mermaids in the Aqua Theater, and there were other shows for the Ice Skating Rink and the main theater. Anyway, those were not ready at all. And there are definitely workers on board. That's not uncommon at all to see plenty of people in overalls. The escape room is, as far as I know, still not ready. So to answer your question, I feel like the issues that people had on Sun Princess on the initial maiden voyage do seem to be worse, quote unquote, than what Icon had. But generally, Royal does a pretty good job. You know, with Wonder of the Seas, they really got most of that ready to go. The escape room was the glaring exception. And the entertainment, the shows tend to be behind schedule more often than not. And it's, you know, usually you'll have like a show or two really ready and maybe a show or two that are in previews or limited runs. And then it takes a little while to get everything going there and whatnot. But the bottom line is, and I'm going to broaden your question. If you're going to go on any new ship, brand new ship, within the first 6 months of its launch, entering service, you should plan on it not being 100%. Now, it could be 99%, it could be 95%, but, you know, that is not uncommon in the grand scheme of the cruise industry. Remember, when cruise ships are being built, like constructed at a shipyard, that is literal construction. When a ship is delivered to a cruise line, I'm not making excuses, by the way, this is how it is. When a ship is delivered to the cruise line, the construction is done. There's no furniture on board. There's no artwork on board. And the shows can be rehearsed, you know, off the ship, obviously in Miami somewhere in their studio, but it's not the same thing. And there are changes and there are things that need to be delivered and there are supply chain issues. It's not simple. Now, listen, the cruise lines could, you know, have the ship sit around for 6 months or a year and get everything tip-top shape, but that's not really how that works. It could work that way, but they would lose a lot of money in the process. It's not uncommon, you know, see this in theme parks. I remember in Walt Disney World, they would open a land, and I remember this was notoriously the case with Star Wars Land, if you're familiar with this at all, otherwise this analogy makes no sense to you. But when they opened Star Wars Land, you know, there's only one ride that was open initially, and then they, you know, over time opened up more stuff and shops and restaurants and other attractions came online later. It's not quite apples to apples, but this is kind of the way that they can deliver an experience that is certainly acceptable and delivers on most of it. And, you know, but there's still things there. So if that's important to you, listen, you might say, man, I don't care. I just want to be on the ship. I'm enjoying it. You know, if they don't have a particular show on there, I'm going to come back anyway, right? Other people really want it to be all perfect and 1,000%. Then in that case, I would wait a year after a ship launches, and reasonably that would be a good time for you to have it ready for you. Next, we have an email from Jennifer Cook. Hi, Matt. I'm enjoying listening to your podcast as we plan our trip for Wonder of the Seas for the first week of July. I have a couple of questions for you and hope you know the answers. Several of us will be reserved beach beds on Chill Island. How do they assign beds? Will they all be together? So as I said earlier with the other question about Hideaway Beach, they're assigned randomly. So what you want to do, Jennifer, is when you get on board the ship, I do this on day one, on embarkation day, go to the shore excursion desk, tell them what you're doing, and you'd like to have them all together, and they could probably take care of it. They'll probably tell you something like, well, we can't promise you anything, but they usually do a pretty good job of doing that. Number two, they said the bed is for four people. While there is only four of us, my parents will be there too, and my kids will likely just come and go. We'll be able to have my parents there, and the kids come and go, or is this a four-people thing, we'll only get wristbands, no others allowed. For the beach beds, in my experience, they don't really care that much. Cabanas is more of a problem, because cabanas are in a reserved area. The beach beds tend to be in their own little section, and you're in Chill Island, which I don't think, like, South Beach has a reserved area. Anyway, long story short, I don't think they'll care. You're in the spirit of it. It's not like you're showing up with 16 people for one beach bed. And like you said, you got kids, people are coming and going. I doubt they'll stick it to you, but, you know, technically that is the rule, just FYI. And I say I doubt it because based on my own experience, they tend to overlook one or two extra people. And Jennifer's last question, do you know if golfing options in Cozumel, Costa Maya, or Roatan would be easy to access and rent clubs? I do not, unfortunately. I am not a golfer. My recommendation to you, number one, if you haven't done this already, check out Royal Caribbean. There are sometimes golfing excursions available, and like I know this in Bermuda, which you're not going to. There are excursions that have golfing excursions, and in there you can go and you can, they provide the clubs, obviously, and all that kind of stuff. That would be the starting point. Beyond that, then I would just simply look for exactly what you're doing. You know, Google Cozumel, golfing excursion, or Roatan golfing excursion, and see what you find there. You know, neither of those ports are really well. In fact, Costa Maya, I'd be shocked if you found anything. But Cozumel and Roatan, the problem with Cozumel is I'm sure all the golf courses are on the mainland, and I would not recommend doing that. I would say it's either on the island or you're not going golfing. Roatan, I know nothing about, but probably your best chance at it. Anyway, my point is that I would look at excursions there and see what's available to you. Unfortunately, I don't have any personal recommendations, so I apologize, Jennifer. There are some places like St. Thomas. The Virgin Islands tend to have a lot more golfing there. It just seems like the Eastern Caribbean is more of a thing, but maybe I'm just not paying attention, and there's a ton of golfing options in Cozumel, and we'll both discover something about it. Stefano has our next email. I was recently upgraded to a Crown Loft Suite on Symphony of the Seas. I have a question. The Star Loft Crown Suite is still available. Nobody books it. Is it possible for me to get that upgrade? Even my upgrade expired once my upgrade to the Crown Loft Suite was accepted. Generally, that's a great question. I've gotten this question from, can you upgrade twice? Can you do rail up? Because that's what Stefano was talking about here. I'm not familiar if you're able to do it twice. My understanding is no. And I know what you're trying to do. Obviously what you could do, Stefano, if it's been accepted, go to the Royal Caribbean website, find the link for Royal Up, enter your information there, and see if it provides you an option. I mean, that's really the option there. I mean, in terms of if nobody books it, it's very rare that would be the case, where literally you get on the ship and nothing there. I mean, obviously, if that was the case, then yes, you could go to, I mean, this is the old school. I'm saying old school. I'm talking like 30 years ago now. You'd go to, 30 years ago, to the pier coordinator. I don't think that person even exists anymore. But anyway, you'd ask at guest services on board the ship about that. In some cases, they use the suite for like bingo. They'll do it as one of the prizes. Like, hey, get upgraded during your cruise. But hey, I mean, listen, there's nothing wrong with asking when you get on board the ship. But it is rare. No matter, I've seen this. I remember we were on Wonder of the Seas in 2022. And we were having a great time, and our genie told us that the next sailing, it was the next one of the cruise after that, an upcoming cruise, our room was available. Somebody canceled the last minute. And I was like, I love my room, I love the genie, I'm like, great, we'll book it. And the cabin was literally $100,000. And of course, we did not book that, despite what some of you may think. But you know what? I bet you somebody was in that cabin. I don't know how, whether it was Rail Up or something else. But I am sure someone got in that cabin. So, wish you the best of luck. But I wouldn't get my hopes up if I were you. And our last email today is coming to us from Will. Hi, Matt. Love the show. We're sailing on Icon of the Seas in May with my wife and two kids. It'll be 7 and 8. And wanted to share a scheduling problem that Royal Caribbean has made for the Empire Supper Club. The dinner is offered starting at 6 p.m. The problem is that Adventure Ocean doesn't open until 7. So, unfortunately, there's no way to book this dining experience. And everyone in my situation is excluded as well. I know this is a first world problem, but wanted to point it out to you as an area of opportunity for Royal Caribbean to fix. If they simply move the start time back to 7, this would solve the issue. You are the man. Well, thanks for the email. I have heard from this from a lot of people, yes. Listen, at this point, they haven't changed it yet. I'm wondering, there must be a reason why 6 has to be the time and not 7. Namely, probably because if you start at 6, then you get out a little bit earlier. I will say this, in practice, I know it says 6, you're really going to go at 6:30. It's weird. You're going to get a letter in your cabin and it's going to say 6:30 is really the time. I'm not sure why they do that. They're 7 and 8. Now in your case, and I don't know your kids, every kid is different. So let me throw that out there. If it were me, and I have a now 9-year-old, and obviously there are more mature 7 and 8-year-olds and very immature 7 and 8-year-olds, if I were you, you might consider leaving your kids in the cabin by themselves. Give them a device, obviously. It's going to be about half an hour. They'll literally be by themselves. Because if they really do seat you at 6:30, which has been my experience, then you could shoot down from your cabin at 6:25. You'll be right on time. Because those elevators are amazing on Icon. Get in there. At 20 minutes later, one of you excuses yourselves to get up and go. That will not be a problem, by the way, and bring the kids to Adventure Ocean. Is it ideal? No. Is it impossible? No. But again, this depends on your kids. Like my kids, and even at 7 and 8, if you give them an iPad, they won't even know that what day it is. Once they're playing their games on their iPad, they're in their own world. Like, I mean, they don't need anything. They don't want anything. For half an hour, they'll be fine. For 3 hours, that's a problem. Right? And I wouldn't recommend that. But for half an hour, again, depends on your kid. You know your kids. You know, Will, when I'm telling you this, describing this scenario to you, is that an okay idea or is that a terrible idea? That's one workaround. Otherwise, unfortunately, yeah, it is what it is, but you are not the first to bring that up for sure. Well, that's all my bad parenting advice that I can squeeze into one episode. Thank you so much for joining me here on this episode. If you want to email me your questions, you can always do so by sending it to matt@royalcaribbeanblog.com. Until next time, I'm Matt. We'll talk again real soon.